goosebumps, Shime. I got goosebumps. I don't know about you. I got goosebumps on my goosebumps, to borrow a phrase from one of our great sponsors there in Red Sox baseball. I think that this is about as excited and as exciting of a day as we've had since Brady left. I mean, I know that there was the whole Mac Jones experience. We all went through that rookie year and thought, hey, you know, you might have something here. It seemed like that was going to be the direction of the franchise there, with your Pro Bowl quarterback and Bill Belichick still around, and he had found his new guy. And 3 years later, here we are. That all comes apart. You're picking third in the draft, and now you get a chance to finally lay eyes on your third overall pick here. You get to unwrap your Christmas present, which some of these other teams already got to. Chicago already did, and they're up big right now in London.
Yes, they are.
With a huge lead over the hapless Jacksonville Jaguars. The Denver Broncos and Bo Nix have been rolling lately. They're 3-2. You have Jaden Daniels, who's an MVP candidate right now, with a 4-1 Washington Commanders team that was picking right before you were. And now finally you get a chance to see Drake May going out there with the following active wide receivers: Jalen Polk, Kendrick Bourne, Pop Douglas, KJ Osborne, and Kayshon Booty. Now, for all the hype and excitement about what we're going to see here from Drake May, this wide receiver group is what it is. How much can he elevate them, do you think?
I think a decent amount. I think he could elevate them quite a bit, especially guys like Jalen Polk and Pop Douglas. I think Polk is going to be kind of a cornerstone in that intermediate area, that 10 to 20 yard range. Pop Douglas is going to be essential when it comes to the quick passing game and, you know, from 5 to 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. And then, you know, hopefully somebody can make a play down the field, whether it's Booty or Kendrick Bourne or something. I hope Kendrick Bourne can finally make his re-arrival to the Patriots today, having been out for injury for the first 5 weeks of the season, or 4 weeks of the season. He played last week, but really didn't do anything. Maybe this week is the day he reasserts himself as a legitimate player on this team, which I think he can do. Like, he's talented. He's good. I never would have said he's a number one receiver anywhere, but he was a solid player. And so I think those three guys especially are the guys that stand out to me as the ones that could be elevated by the play of Drake May today.
Now that we're watching, now that May is going to be out there starting, and I don't know how you felt about this when it was being rumored, but, you know, the Brandon Ayuk trade, the T. Higgins thing, Devontae Adams even right now, all of these guys that the Patriots may have kicked the tires on. We know with Ayuk that they actually did make a big offer to him and wanted to extend him. Looking back at that now, I mean, it sounds like you were in on all those guys. Should they have made more of an effort to have someone like that ready to go for when May makes his first start?
So I don't think so, just because it seems pretty clear to me that they had zero intentions of starting Drake May at this point in the season. Like, I think they would have been content with having Jacoby Brissett start, you know, almost the entire season. And so I think it is imperative that they do that this offseason. Would I have liked Brandon Ayuk on this team? Absolutely. But with the guys that will be available in free agency this year, a guy like Chris Godwin would be awesome to add to this team. A guy like T. Higgins would be another great add. I think there's a lot of opportunities here in the offseason that's going to show, A, that the Patriots are willing to spend money, and B, that they're ready to support their young, good quarterback.
See, I want to believe that. I really do, and I think you're right. I mean, there are ways of looking at it, and certainly now I think you can make the statement that they weren't planning on starting him at this point in the year, so that's why they maybe didn't go full bore at it. But when you talk about guys like Godwin and all these available wide receivers next year, Mike Evans was supposed to be available in free agency this year. What's his name over with the Colts? A bunch of other wide receivers were supposed to hit free agency, and they all re-signed. And I feel like lately, even guys who are a little bit older, like Godwin's, what, 29, 30? Like, he's not some young guy. Higgins, he's 28, right? Higgins is 27 or whatever he
25.
Is. Like, okay. I'm getting every single age wrong. I'm sorry. But all these guys, regardless of how old they are, I feel like get re-signed. You know, they don't make it to free agency. And I hope that they're not, that the Patriots anyway, aren't counting on that and expecting that and saying, yeah, we'll be fine. We'll just pluck some of these guys out of free agency when they get there next year. And it's like, I was thinking that would be part of what they did this year. They had all this money to spend, and really it just came down to Calvin Ridley and Hollywood Brown, and that was it. And Brown ended up signing with the Chiefs, and Ridley ends up going to Tennessee, and, you know, that was it. There really wasn't a lot of other options there, and I think that that's something I worry about going forward. Not to mention the fact that, you know, may be good. He may end up having a good year, but is he going to turn the Patriots in New England into a marquee place for a free agent wide receiver to want to go? Like, that's a different level than just being a good rookie. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah. I think the way you're going to have to attack the receiver market is probably through trade, to be completely honest. And we've seen a lot of high-profile receivers be traded over the last few years. Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, guys like that have been – Stephon Diggs have been traded, and you can get them. Brandon Ayuk was on the table, theoretically. So there are going to be guys available for you. I think that's probably how you're going to have to attack the receiver market. You might be able to sign one of those lower tier guys, like a like a Darius Slayton type, mm-hmm. or a Hollywood Brown type in free agency. You might be able to get one of those guys, but the top tier receivers you're probably going to have to trade for, which is why, you know, I don't want to look way past, you know, Drake May's first career start, but when you look at the offseason, right, it's going to be trade for a receiver, sign an offensive lineman, preferably a tackle, please a tackle, and then use your first-round draft pick on one or the other, like whoever's the best available at the position when you're picking, whether it's receiver or lineman, go grab the best available, and then let's start cooking. And like, I think that's kind of how you have to approach this as you move forward, assuming Drake May is a productive young quarterback.
What would you rather see going forward? Drake May and the Patriots win some games and win enough games to fall out of the top 10 or maybe even the top 15 in the draft? Or Drake May to look okay, but the Patriots to lose a bunch of games and still pick in the top 5?
So if you're picking outside of the top 15, that means you're a borderline playoff team. I would love that. I'd be thrilled with that. If you're picking outside of the top 10, I'm still okay with that. That means you're winning 7 to 8 games. I think that is more beneficial for the future of Drake May than picking inside the top 10. A top 10 draft pick is great. Sure, cool. That's fine. Micah Parsons was picked outside of the top 10. Devontae Smith was picked outside of the top 10. Like, CeeDee Lamb was picked 15th. There have been a million players that are really talented that get picked in the first round, not in the top 10. I don't need a top 10 pick. I would rather have wins with Drake May and him playing great than a top 10 pick.
Well, there's also the Joe Burrow route, too, which was, I mean, he got hurt, so we hope that doesn't happen.
Sure.
But, you know, that team crapped out. And
yeah, but look at Atlanta. They've been drafted in the top 10 for 5 straight years, and they've drafted offensive players every year, and yet Bijan Robinson doesn't look as great as we all hoped he would. Kyle Pitts is a shell of himself. Drake London seems like he's pretty good, but it took them to go get Kirk Cousins for any of this to work.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, we'll see how much it even ends up working because,
exactly.
as you mentioned, like, the rest of those guys have not really been living up to their hype, especially where they were picked. Pitts is, I mean, I think he had a touchdown last week, but he's been a real disappointment. Robinson, everybody thought was going to be offensive player of the year this year. He's been bad. And London, I never thought was that good to begin with, but, you know, he's probably been their best target. So, yeah, that's true. I mean, for every Joe Burrow case, there's a team like the Falcons who have been trying to build an offense up and just haven't been able to. But now, yeah, I mean, and then this year they draft a quarterback and sign one for the most money out of anybody, and it just seems like everything that they do to try and launch this offense has been tough. And that also speaks to the idea of building an offense and then bringing in the quarterback, which is something that Patriots fans, myself included, thought may have been the better route to take with this team this year. And that would have meant not drafting Drake May, which I know you wouldn't have liked, Chris Schein,
no,
but
I hated.
There is also the idea that, hey, you know, if you plop him down in the middle of a team that has no offensive line and nobody to catch the ball and not much of a play caller and Alex Van Pelt there to really bring the kid along, then how can you really expect him to be successful? Why not build up an offense and then draft a quarterback, bring him into a situation that's already somewhat okay, like Mahomes, you know? Like, Mahomes came into a Kansas City Chiefs team that was ready to go, yeah.
Yeah, they were a playoff team, and I mean, That's a great plan, right? The theory behind that plan is great, but, I mean, San Francisco's been doing that for years, and they still haven't been able to get over. They still can't beat Kansas City in the Super Bowl. They've gotten there twice. They've missed out a couple times as well. They've built the best roster in football, but because they don't have the quarterback, it unfortunately didn't matter. And so if you're the New England Patriots, like, you, when you're presented with the opportunity to draft a quarterback who you think can be a top 5 quarterback, top 10 quarterback in football, you have to take it. It is the most essential position in all of sports. There is not another position that is comparable to quarterback in football. And so when you have the opportunity to get the guy, you have to get the guy. That has always been my opinion. That will forever be my opinion, especially because if you find a guy who's really, really good on a rookie contract, it sets your team up like nobody else. The Houston Texans are in such an amazing position because they have a top 10 quarterback on a rookie salary, and they can use all that money to supplement the roster. And then it allows you to do so many other things, and you're going to be a Super Bowl contender every single year.
The Houston Texans had one of the best off seasons in NFL history.
It was so good.
One of the best ever. They got a 1,000-yard receiver. They got a 1,000-yard rusher. They got a 10-sack guy. I mean, that's never happened before. You never see that. And I know a lot of it was trade, so it's not like they just went out and threw money around. I think it was a 7th-round pick they traded for Mixon. They traded a 2nd for Diggs. They ended up signing Hunter, who was the big sack guy.
Yeah, and they let Jonathan Greenard go.
That's true.
Kind of was almost just like an even swap almost.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, that's not obviously you're not going to be able to do everything you want to there.
No.
But with an offseason like that, shrewd moves there by Nick Caserio to make trades, to bring in players, to supplement an offense that already seems to have a lot of promise. I mean, that's everything you could possibly want.
And to have balls to take CJ Stroud 2 and then immediately draft back or trade back up to 3 and take Will Anderson.
Yeah, that was also, I mean, listen, they've gone all out here. This Houston Texans team has gone all out. They've made it very clear that they're trying to surround their young quarterback with as much talent on offense as they possibly can, too, obviously, and supplementing the defense as well. And that's, I mean, listen, you bring in a third overall pick like that, and he was defensive rookie of the year last year, I think, right?
Yes, he was.
You know, you're cooking right now. And the Jets had something similar to that, too, when they had Gardner and Wilson both win the respective offensive and defensive rookies of the year.
Yep.
But you know that's
again, they didn't have the quarterback
of team building, right? They had to go out and make that big trade for Aaron Rodgers. And again, I mean, listen, for all the praise I'm heaping on Houston right now, their offense hasn't been that great this year. It's been fine, but not great. And I also think that when you look at Houston, you look at in a lot of ways, the template for what you want the Patriots rebuild to look like, right? I mean, that was a quick rebuild. It only took about a year. One quarterback comes in. He elevates everybody. You bring in a rookie wide receiver like Dell, who was a 3rd-round pick. Nico Collins, who was basically Pop Douglas before Stroud got there. And then you supplement it. You know, you put things around him. Rookie head coach, defensive-minded. You know, that's basically the optimal best possible outcome here for the Patriots is that they look like the Texans next year.
100%.
Right?
That was kind of the plan coming into the season for me. I looked at it and I'm like, Nico Collins hadn't had more than 500 yards in both of his years in the NFL. Like, why couldn't Kendrick Bourne turn into that? Or, as you pointed out, Pop Douglas in his rookie year did it better than anything Nico Collins had done prior to his first year with CJ Stroud. So I felt like there was a guy on the roster that could explode if Drake May was CJ Stroud, right? And I think the only real advantage the Texans had over the Patriots in terms of the rebuild was that they had a legitimate left tackle, right? That was kind of the one position to me that I felt the Texans had that the Patriots didn't heading into this season. And when you look at it, like, young defensive-minded head coach, really good defensive personnel leading into the season, unfortunately a bit ravaged by injuries and unfortunate situations with guys like Christian Barmore. Like, the Patriots have gotten unlucky in that regard, but entering the season, I thought it was all there. All the pieces were there, and so I never really understood why anybody, if you started Drake May for 17 games, would even think that they would go under that 4.5 wins mark. With Drake, if Drake May had started from day one, you might be 3-2 right now instead of 1-4.
Yeah, no question about it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got open phone lines. If you'd like to chime in here, it is May Day, and we have room for you if you'd like to get your last thoughts in here before May takes his first snap as the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. We'll talk with Andy Hart at 1230, but first, here's Chris Scheim to tell you what's trending. Drake May, the man of the hour, says he's going to be a little nervous out there, but he wants to make some plays. I know it doesn't sound like much, Shine, but just hearing him say, yeah, I want to go out there and make some plays was kind of refreshing after watching Brissett for 5 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
A guy who was very content to not make a play if it meant not making a mistake. I'm ready for someone to go out there and make a mistake, you know, if that's what it takes. So long as they're trying to advance the ball downfield, so long as they're trying to pick up the first down, so long as they're trying to make something happen for this team that has been really stuck in the mud offensively this entire season. And not just this whole season, Shine, but for 3 years running now. I mean, this has been a dysfunctional offense here in New England. And it's not just because we're spoiled from 20 years of Tom Brady. It's been dysfunctional by every metric, by every measure you could possibly want. And this represents now hope that we're coming out of that as a fan base, as a team, as an offense, as everything.
I really hope that Jerod Mayo, just like he made Jacoby Brissett cry before his first start, goes up to Drake today and just says, Just sling the rock, young buck. Just do it. Just get out there and let it rip. And that, because that's what I want. Like, just don't hold this kid back. Let him make mistakes. Let him stumble. Let him pick himself up. Be there to help pick him up when he needs it. But, like, give him the opportunity to just, like, hurl the rock. Like, let him be awesome. Let him be a gunslinger. Let him be who he is. That's all I ask. That's all I want. And I've been so excited for this game. And the closer and closer we get to kickoff, the more amped up I get.
Okay, so there's a little bit of news here. A little bit of breaking news here from the Patriots. According to Gerard Mayo, Nick Leverett is not starting at center today.
Who is?
Ben Brown.
Ben Brown?
Thank you very much there, Jacob. He was signed this week. He practiced on Wednesday. He was previously with the Raiders, I want to say.
Looks like
He is going to start. He was on the Raiders practice squad. And he has been signed to the Patriots. He signed this week, and he is going to start at center for the rookie quarterback, Drake May. Now, when we talked to Tommy Curran, what's the main thing he said he was worried about?
Under center snaps.
Handling the snaps. Making sure that there is no big problem when it comes to the transfer of the football from the center to the quarterback, which has been, you know, in not much. I didn't really see much of it in that Jets game.
For playing center, Ben Brown's a big boy, 6'5".
Yeah, that's a beefy kid right there. This is your center, Nick Leverett, who I don't think anybody's going to miss. It's not like Nick Leverett went out there and set the world on fire, but this seems like an odd choice at the last minute, doesn't it?
It very much so does. But quick read up on Ben Brown. He was a redshirt junior, played all 816 offensive snaps, started every single game at center for Ole Miss. So, like, at the very least, he's a Division I kid who played a ton at center. So he's at least experienced in that regard, whereas Nick Leverett had barely played center at all in his NFL career. He was primarily a guard. He didn't allow a sack in 432 pass blocks. He was really good against number 5 Florida back in 2020, it looks like. So, I don't know. At least this Ben Brown kid knows how to play center. I would expect, knowing this and the quick change here, probably going to be a ton of shotgun snaps today.
Yeah, I would guess that's probably what you're looking at here. Now, I know that Nick Leverett was probably the weak link on this line, but there was something to be said about having the same line two straight weeks, right?
He wasn't awful last week. He had a couple penalties, but one of them definitely wasn't his fault.
Right, yeah, I agree with that. I don't think he was that bad. I don't think anybody was really that bad. I thought the O-line looked good against Miami, which may be part of it.
Sure.
But I think in general, like, people, I thought that it was their best game. And some carryover, some consistency, and having that group together, I thought was going to be a plus for this team, but now it turns out it's Ben Brown time instead. So we'll see. We'll see if that makes much of a difference. I think for someone like Drake May, it's like, well, whatever. You know, I'm just going to take snaps from whoever's there. Once Andrews is out, then you know it's probably going to be some kind of musical chairs. But the musical chairs and the offensive line continues now as Ben Brown will get his first start at the Patriots, along with Drake May, the rookie, getting his first start with the Patriots as well here today. We'll keep an eye on that one for sure. In general, the offensive line, Leverett on the end, Jacobs on the other end, and who do we have in the middle? Michael Jordan and Michael Nwenu, obviously.
Yep.
The rest of the O-line, do you feel okay about today?
Yeah, I feel good. Like, it's the same line as last week. I thought the line last week was good. I think Nwenu's meant to play guard. I feel like Michael Jordan has been a huge surprise. By the way, I think he needs to go by his middle initial. I don't know what it is, but it should be just like Michael B. Jordan. We should get like Michael F. Jordan or whatever his middle initial is there, just to, you know, clarify from the actual Michael Jordan. And then Venarian Lowe has been good at left tackle. So overall, the rest of the offensive line, I feel pretty good about this.
Yeah, I agree with the Michael B. Jordan thing too. I think that's a good idea. Just ask Tommy Curran. Or you could just ask Andy Hart, who's joining us right now from the Six Rings postgame show, as well as Six Rings podcast and WEEIF Afternoons with yours truly, Mr. Hart. How are we doing?
I am doing tremendous. How are you guys today on this wonderful May Day?
Hello, Andy.
Hi,
I'm doing well. Shime's doing backflips. I mean, you can't even describe the excitement.
I am doing Mac Jones breathing exercises in the studio. It is. Oh, it's unbelievable.
And Mac Jones is actually playing over in London right now because the Jets.
Oh, is that right?
Whooped, walloped, molly walloped. He went into that game, huh? Yeah, okay, yep. Good. Well, that's nice. Also, we just found out, Andy, some breaking news here that Nick Leverett will not be starting at center today. Instead, it'll be Ben Brown, who was signed off the Vegas Raiders practice squad this week on Wednesday. A lot of people might not even know that. It was kind of an under-the-radar signing. How do you feel about the O-line and the protection now for Drake May in his first start?
Having zero knowledge of Ben Brown and what he's going to bring to the table, I feel about as good as I can feel. I think the rest of the line has settled in about as well as they can. I feel like this guy needs a nickname, too, like Badass Ben Brown or something. Like some
Big
sort of
Ben
alliterate.
Brown.
Yeah, Big Ben
Brown. They're going
Brown.
To London next week. It only makes sense.
Big Ben Brown. Now, I have no idea. I know,
he is
you know,
big.
Based on some of the numbers last week, Nick Leverett was the weak point of the offensive line in terms of pressures and grades and things of that nature. And we all had our questions about him as a backup center dating back to the preseason. But, you know, the thing I feel good about is I think you have a better athlete back there. And, you know, just watching some of the Bears this morning and seeing Caleb Williams as he evolves and develops as an athletic playmaker for the Bears, that's what your opportunities are going to be. And we've seen Jacoby Brissett have some success there, and obviously you have a much younger, better athlete back there now. So with Lowe at left tackle, that seems to be about as good as you're going to get over there. On Onwenu at guard, you know, if we had Ramondre Stevenson, I'd say, oh, well, things are kind of falling into place as well as they can for what you want to do offensively. Not ideal to have him out, but no, I feel fine. That's my word of the week, Arcand, as I've told you. I feel fine mm-hmm. about the line. Fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
What do you expect from Drake May this week, though, Andy? Like, give us some parameters. What are we looking at? What are you looking for as what indicates success?
Professionalism, competency. Don't look like you have your hair on fire back there. And which doesn't mean you're not going to scramble around and do things, right? Like, there's a way to do that within the confines of the game and his ability and skill set and the game. And not look like, oh my God, this could turn to disaster at any moment. And just look like you're prepared. Look like a professional quarterback. Don't, you know, and I don't even mean when throws. There's going to be a couple throws. Like that Quinn Ewers throw to start the Red River rivalry yesterday. There might be one of those where he's too amped up or he's a little off or whatever. That's going to happen. But don't just look inept. Don't look ridiculous at any point. And I don't think he will. I think he is ready for this.
Yes.
You know, I've said this to you guys all along. I love his mentality, his makeup, his attitude, the whole package that is Drake May. So, you know, does that mean win the game? Probably not. Does that mean throw for X number of yards? Probably not. Like, I don't feel like this is an eyeball test game to me. Just come away feeling, oh, that kid's got something. That kid's a professional. That kid was okay out there today. You know, hopefully that includes, I said this to Arcan, my baseline is a scoring drive. Like, give me at least one drive where it's like 80 yards, you know, 9, 10, 11 plays, 5 or 6 of them are pass plays. He makes the throws he needs to make, balances it out, you know, makes the right calls. Give me one of those as just sort of chumming the water for the future and future games. And I think personally, I can't speak for the rest of the maniacs out there or Patriot Nation, if I get that, I will be happy and content moving forward.
Andy, after watching 5 weeks of Alex Van Pelt designing an offense around Jacoby Brissett, do you trust him to design one for Drake May?
I do, because I don't think it's going to change all that much. You know, I think this offense is relatively simple, is relatively QB-ready in terms of some of the things that Drake May can do. You know, with the wide zones, turns into boots. I like those better with Drake May running them. I think he's more athletic if, A, you don't fool the backside end or outside linebacker, and, B, can throw on the run better. You know, I think some of the zone read stuff will be actual reads instead of just gives with Jacoby Brissett. So I think some of the stuff that's inherent in this offense that we've seen works for Drake May. Do I feel great about Alex Van Pelt in general? No. I'm going to need him to call a good game. He can't be questioning or regretting his own play calling, right? We already have one major question mark. That's your 22-year-old rookie quarterback making his NFL debut. I'm going to need the guy who's been in the NFL for like 30 years to look like he's been in the NFL for like 30 years and not be regretting things that he does. So clean up your time management. Make sure you're the guy. Again, doesn't look like your hair is on fire. Looks like he knows what he's doing if we get into a 2-minute drill in the end of the first half. But in terms of the growth of the offense, I think they're going to keep it simple at this point because, I mean, really that's what they're built to be, is sort of simple.
Well, sticking with the offense with no Ramondre Stevenson, do you think that this running game will still be able to be competitive enough so that they're not entirely one-dimensional and not relying solely on Drake May here?
I think Antonio Gibson has run the ball well. Even going back to, he ran the ball better in the summer, in my opinion, than Ramondre Stevenson on the practice field. He has shown that ability to slash a little bit, get some quick hitters where it's like, boom, he's through the line of scrimmage for 6, 7, 8 yards. Cutbacks, some of the things with those zone reads that I think is capable of, and those wide zone plays. So, yeah, I feel pretty good about Antonio Gibson in the short term. I don't want him to be my every down running back week after week. He's probably going to have to shoulder more of the load today than would be ideal. And I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but he's also a guy who has ball security issues. And the more you hand him the rock against a pretty good defense, the more opportunities there are to have him regress to some of the stuff he did last year. But yeah, I want to try to stay balanced. I don't have a lot of faith in Hasty. I think it has to be Gibson with a bigger chunk of the load today. But if that line, and with Mike Onwenu at guard, I think that is a better running line than when he's out at tackle. I just think he's more comfortable in there moving people. You know, he even talked about the short space quickness and just moving bodies and not having to worry about being out in space. So I would run over right guard a little bit today to try to keep the balance to the offense and make life easier on your rookie quarterback.
The focus today, obviously, Andy, is going to be on Drake May and what the offense looks like. Defensively, I feel like this team hasn't really lived up to its billing so far this year. The Texans' offense hasn't been that good compared to what we thought they would be. They've been kind of disappointing offensively. I know they have a good record and all, but their numbers really aren't all that great. Stroud hasn't been a great fantasy QB this year, and outside of Nico Collins, their weapons have been kind of schmeh. Could this be a game where the defense gets their swagger back?
Absolutely, and I think Nico Collins being out plays into the Patriots' hands. You've become a defense where you have a number one corner who can take away or at least take, you know, slow down a number one weapon. I think you're probably going to put him on Diggs quite a bit. That's what they've been doing all year, take away the number one option with Christian Gonzalez. Now, I do think Tank Dell is a guy you're going to be worried about stepping up, quiet season, making some plays, getting back to doing some of the things that he is capable of doing. Obviously, the middle of the field and the tight end position has been a concern for this defense at times, and you're still down a safety. It's great that you get Duggar back, but you're still down one of your starting safeties. So I still think communication in the back end, we'll see what role sort of Marte Mapu has, if he's Jabril Peppers and out there, you know, all the time, or if they do a little bit more rotating now that you have Duggar back. The pass rush, I think, needs to be more consistent on C.J. Stroud. They've moved the ball. I think they're second in the league in yards, but then very much middle of the road in points. So they're able to stay on the field, move the ball, and it's get, you know, bend but don't break Patriots defense that I think teams have been having success against them. They've also made the plays they needed to win games, different than the Patriots, where they've, you know, Buffalo gives them a chance, they take advantage, they win the game. I think four wins are by like 15 total points, something like that. I know they're minus point differential on the season, so it's not like they've been, you know, blowing teams out, getting into shootouts. So this is a game where if you are the Patriots and you have Gonzalez play really well and do your job in that area, make life a little bit tough on C.J. Stroud. I do think this should be a game where you're sort of in range, hopefully, in the second half if the defense can kind of live up to its resume.
So, Andy, I hate to be take the role of Fitzy here and be a super homer, but imagine I come from the future and tell you the Patriots won this football game. How'd they do it? Was it all Drake May, or does the defense pop off?
I think the defense plays well. I think Christian Gonzalez or somebody gets a turnover, because I think turnovers are key in the National Football League. We see it every year. I mean, I came from that, you know, press conferences where Bill Belichick would spew it year after year, month after month, week after week. And I do believe that. And I think Gonzalez is playing that well. Like, he almost had a second one last week. So, that one on the goal line against Garrett Wilson. So I think not only is Christian Gonzalez getting into that, oh, I can cover receivers mode, I think he's starting to get into the I can cover them and I can go get the football mode. And I think if he can do that today, that would be a nice first step towards an upset. I think you would stay balanced offensively. If you tell me they win this game today, I think you have to probably get 80 plus yards from Antonio Gibson and probably 125 plus yards on the ground. Some of that maybe with Drake May, by the way. He can chip in probably 20 or 30 yards, scrambles, part of his game. Maybe
well, Shime's hoping it's at least 40, so his bet hits.
Oh, you did you do an alternate rushing? Because it was like 29 and a half, right?
I did a few things. I did a Drake May rushing ladder. I hit it right when it came out at 25. I hit it, it then went up to 28 and a half in a lot of spots, so I hit it again. I also hit him to have 30-plus and 40-plus, so yes, and an anytime touchdown. So I've bet a lot on Drake May.
The 30-plus, I think, is very much in reach. 40-plus feels like a lot, and I don't know if 40-plus is good. I don't know if that would come in a victory or if that would come in a running for his life in a comeback
effort. Well, so just for reference, so you know, three of the five games the Texans have played this season, they've allowed over 40 yards rushing to quarterbacks. Granted, they won all three of those games, but it has happened pretty frequently.
Interesting. But, yeah, I think this is going to have to be a team victory. You tell me they pull off the victory. I'm going to say Joey Sly has to hit probably all three of his field goal attempts.
Okay.
I'm going to say Drake May has to chip in on the ground. Drake May has to avoid the rookie mistake. And I think Christian Gonzalez or somebody on that defense probably has to have at least a takeaway, a turnover, an interception, so you're plus in the turnover differential.
All right. Well, then we'll leave it right there. Do we have a prediction first on the score?
Okay, so I went 27-13 Texans on the Six Rings preview pod. I am I'm flipping the script. I think people are wearing on me. I love Drake May. I want Drake May to succeed. So this is a pick with my Homer Hart, H-A-R-T and E-A-R-T.
Yes.
Homer Hart is going to say 24-20, the Patriots get the upset, and New England has maniac fever moving
Andy,
forward.
I love you.
And I hope it's true.
That will be it will be a wild, wild scene down at Gillette if that happens. All right, Andy Hart, we'll look forward to hearing you in the Six Rings post-game show as well as talking to you on Monday at 2 o'clock with me and WEEI Afternoons. Thanks so much.
And our first interview with Drake May.
That is correct. Woo! We'll be talking with Drake May for the first time. Our first official Patriots Monday interview with the Drake, Drake May, who is going to lead, according to Andy Hart, lead the team to a 24-20 victory today at Gillette Stadium. Thanks, Andy.
See you, boys.
See you, Andy.
All right, Andy Hart joining us here. Again, you can hear him on the Six Rings postgame show right here on WEEI. We got one segment left. We'll get to your phone calls, and we'll pop, drop, and lock it. All right, Shime, we got some calls on the line here, so let's grab them real quick, lightning round style, before we get to pop, lock, and drop.
Let's
we'll start
it.
With Dan in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Dan.
I was curious if Shime has his pants on or off right now, and two quick nicknames for the offensive line. It's Ben Dover Brown and Michael S. Jordan for Sucks. That's it.
Okay.
Not bad, Dan. And pants on or off?
I would rather keep that to myself.
Okay,
I'm alone in this studio, but I won't spoil it for anybody. You can think what you want.
All right, Derek and Pepperell, go ahead.
Shime, I am so beyond excited that you are going to see your boy play. I really am. And I'll tell you, by the end of the season, we're going to go to a game together. I have real access to great seats, and I want you to come with me. We'll have a great time.
Wow. I appreciate that, Derek. Thank you.
How about that? Very nice.
A
little.
We're talking food. It's the Empower Box. We're talking food. We'll totally take care of you. Love doing it. I was trying to get – I don't know if you got the message. I was trying to get tickets for today. And but you didn't call me back.
Well, so I appreciate that, Derek. So unfortunately, I have a job that I am committed to that I have to do here with Christian Arcand today.
Well, you're going to ask Ken for a day off November 17th.
All right.
Ask him.
Okay.
All right.
That.
Thanks for the call, Derek. I hope you know Derek previously because otherwise that's a little weird.
Derek calls in frequently to the Greg Hill Morning Show.
He does. He calls in. All right. Very good then. So he's not going to have you dress up like Little Bo Peep or anything.
I don't believe so.
To go to the game. All right. Bob's in the car. Go ahead, Bob.
Sorry about that. So I have a crazy thought. I heard on one of the other shows today. What do you think about trading for Deshaun Watson? They said you have to.
You can stop right there. I'm good. I don't want Deshaun Watson anywhere near
trading for Deshaun Watson. We're trading for him and paying him all that money. And even if you don't pay him any money, I'm all set.
Yep.
I'm all set with Deshaun Watson. I don't think he'd be a very good influence on Drake May as a backup. I'd rather Brissett take over that role. And I don't
really
see
Joe Flacco.
Any reason to keep him around here. All right, with that in mind, let's get to pop, lock, and drop. All right, Shime, I got to be honest here. You know this just as well as I do. I am having a hard time with this segment. Every single time I think someone's going to pop, they don't do anything. Every lock I lose, and every drop, I mean, I guess the drop is no big deal. You know, you just stay away from a game. but I cannot. I'm 0 for a million when it comes to these locks. So I might just turn this over to you here. I don't even want to. I'm not even sure I want to give. I want to give anything out. I'm just killing my reputation. Not that I had much of one to begin with, but it is. It is in the crapper right now when it comes to this segment.
It's
so what do you have for
impressive.
What do you have for a pop today?
So I mean. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Drake May's rushing prop at 25+. Like, I've been touting it all week. But just aside from that, give me A.J. Brown to pop this week. He's returning from an injury. The Eagles are coming off bye. I think he is going to go nuclear against this Cleveland Browns defense. Like, A.J. Brown 100+ and a touchdown type deal. Give me A.J. Brown to absolutely pop this week for the Eagles.
My pop this week is Lamar Jackson. I think the Ravens and the Commanders, I love that game. I think that it's a type of game where Jackson wants to establish that he's the big bad guy on the block here in the DMV area, and that, you know, you're a nice little rookie there, Daniels, but you're going up against the real thing. So I think Jackson's going to go out there, have a ton of yards, and I think that's going to be a good game, but I think Jackson balls out. So there's my pop, which sorry in advance to all Ravens fans, because this means he's going to suck now. Who's your lock?
Yeah, my lock today is the Atlanta Falcons against the Carolina Panthers. Andy Dalton was fun for a minute, but I think this Falcons team is finally kind of getting rolling, coming off that Thursday night victory where Kirk Cousins threw for over 500 yards. They are starting to cook a little bit here. They got that extra rest, too, because they played on Thursday night. Give me the Falcons today against the Panthers.
My lock of the day, and again, I apologize to the fine people of Tampa Bay. I know they've had a rough week, but this will make it even worse here.
Are you not a Spencer Rattler fan?
I'm picking the Bucs over the Saints and Spencer Rattler, who I like. I mean, I like that he's getting a start. But I think the Saints, after those first two games where they put up like 90 points, have really fallen off hard. Kamara, I think, is a good player, but he's the kind of guy who comes in spurts, and then that's gross what I just said there, but you know what I mean. He's the type of guy who will have a couple of good games and then a couple of bad ones, and I think he's on one of the downslopes right now. I think Tampa wins this one walking away, so I'm going to lock them up -3.5, which is the last spread I saw for Tampa Bay. So there's my lock. Sorry again for doing this to you. And who are you dropping?
Yeah, I'm dropping. I mean, this is pretty simple. I'm going to drop the Titans-Colts game. No, thank you. I don't want to touch that. I don't want anything to do with it. Joe Flacco starting for the Colts. The only thing you could convince me is if you're putting the Colts in a tease and you're getting them at +8.5. Outside of that, I want nothing to do with that game. Thank you very much.
I want nothing to do with Steelers-Raiders. I think Steelers are probably going to win the game, but I just don't want anything to do with it. I think the Raiders are such a mess, and the Steelers are just a team that's in such flux that it's hard to really nail down what's going to happen on a week-to-week basis. Not to mention this whole thing with George Pickens, who's, I don't know, I mean, this
insane
guy, something about these Steelers wide receivers, man. They just get there, and they really don't know how to act, and they don't know how to behave, and I like Pickens as a player. But, yeah, that is a team right now that, even though I think they're probably going to win this game in Vegas, I'm not touching that with a 20-foot pole. So there you go. There's my pop, my lock, and my drop. Again, I apologize to everybody who I big up there. And, yeah, you drop that Steelers-Raiders game. That means Pittsburgh's probably going to win walking away. But there you go. That is it. The only thing we have left to do now, Chris Scheim, is make our picks on the score of the game today with the Patriots and Drake May and his debut. Are you going to be bold like Andy Hart and pick a Patriots victory?
Not quite that bold. I am going to pick the Patriots to cover, though. I like this team. I like the way it's going to be. 28-24 Houston Texans. CJ Stroud has a game-winning drive inside of 5 minutes.
All right, I'm going to pick the Texans at 31-20. I think that May looks good.
20 is
respectable. But I think that this is going to be the type of game where Houston bounces back and the offense starts rolling, and I think that's going to be an unfortunate side effect of that. But we won't remember that. We'll just remember it was Drake May's debut. That's all the time we have here today. I want to say thanks to Fitzy. Thanks to Tommy Curran. Thanks to Andy Hart. Thanks to Wiggy. Thanks to Jacob back in studio. Thanks to Mego. Great job, Scheim.
Great job by you,
Arthur. It's May Day, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you. Scheim will talk to you at 6 a.m. on Monday. I'll talk to you, too, right here on WEEI.
Let's go, Drake May!